Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now studying Masechet Bava Metzia and are on Daf Memtet Amud Bet at the third Mishnah of the fourth Perek. And we will be beginning our study of the issues related to Ona'a, the prohibition of which we saw mentioned earlier in our discussion. And the key pasuk there is, of course, Al Tonu Ish Et Achiv, that when you make a purchase, you are not allowed to, unclear exactly how we translate it, to take advantage of, to price gouge, to mislead another fellow. And we will see the parameters of that in this podcast, and then further in the next podcast. Okay. Hona'a arba kesef misrim v'arba'a kesef lasela. So the presentation of the Mishnah is that Ona'a is, and we understand this to be a ratio, 4 silver pieces out of 24 silver pieces in a sella, meaning that if there are 24 silver pieces in a sella, a price differential from what should be paid of 4, which comes out to shtut lamikach, which means 1/6 of the transaction, constitutes Ona'a. Ad matay mutar lachzir, so the next question in the Mishnah is, until when could the person who is the victim, and we'll see that it's on both sides, both the seller and the buyer could be a victim, until when can they come back and say, this was a case of Ona'a and I want my money back, or I want the deal canceled? We'll see all of that a little bit later on. Ad kedei she'ar ela tiger oli krovo. Enough time for the person, and we hear it seems to be the buyer, will show the item to another vendor, or to a relative who has some expertise in it, and appraise it for him. Now, Harar Bitarfon Belod. Rabbi Tarfon taught in Lod, and he instructed, he ruled in Lod, Ha'onah Shmona Kesef Hesim V'Arba Kesef Lasela. He said that Onah is 8 Kesef out of 24, Shlish L'mikach, meaning a third of the transaction, not a sixth, which means that there's a larger range of differential between market value and what you actually charge, and collect, that's still not under the ban of Ona'a. Samchuta gare Lod. And the vendors in Lod were very happy with that ruling. Amar lahem, and then he said, kol hayom mutar lachzor. By the way, a deal which is subject to Ona'a can be retracted or can be called upon the mat, whatever you, however you're going to read mutar lachzor. We'll see that in our Gemara. All day. Not just however long it takes. We'll call that half an hour. However long it takes to find someone else to appraise it, but all day. Amrulo yaniach lan Rabbi Tarfon komenu. Let Rabbi Tarfon leave us alone. Chazula divrei chachamim. They went back to appreciate or to embrace the approach of the chachamim, which even though it gave a tighter range for Ona'a of 1/6, nonetheless, it also gave less of time for a victim of Ona'a to act on it. All right. There's a strange phrase in here, which is not dealt with in the Gemara, which is chazul divrei chachamim, as if the vendors could sort of vote whose position to take, but the Gemara again does not pick that up. The events in Lod, although they sound non-relevant to us because it's a different opinion that ends up getting rejected, is very relevant because it will help us understand what's cooking in the Mishnah. Itmar. Rav amar shtut mikach shaninu. Rav says that when the Mishnah talks about shtut, it means a sixth of the transaction. Ushmuel amar shtut ma'ot nami shaninu. It could be a sixth of the money also. And we'll see an example which will highlight the difference between their positions. The meaning, shavi shita b'chamsha, shavi shita b'shiva, if you have something worth 6, which you either sell for 5 or sell for 7, kuleyama l'pligi debata mikach hazlinim. Then we look at the sale, at the item. The item is worth 6. 1/6 of 6th is 1. So if you oversell by 1 or undersell by 1, that is ona'a. And in that case, we look at the value of the item and measure the 6th from there. Ona'avi. Ki pligi, where do Rav and Shmuel disagree? Shavi chamsha b'shita b'shavi shiva b'shita. If you have, instead of the value, the item being valued at 6 and it's undersold, it's sold at 5 or 7, instead you have an item worth 5 sold at 6 or an item worth 7 sold at 6. Let's see how that plays out. L'shmuel damar batar ma'ot azlinan, according to Shmuel, who says you can also define an ona'a as being 1/6 of the money. Well, think about this. You bought it for 6, even though it's worth, let's say, 5. That means that 1/6 of what you paid was the overpayment. That's Ona'a. It'd be the Ona'a. have. And the same thing if you bought something worth 7 for 6. What you underpaid was 1/6 of the maot is onah. But the Rav Dar about to make a chazdenim, but according to Rav who says you only look at the value of the item, think about this. If you've bought something worth 5 for 6, then that means that you paid 1/5 up. And that's over onah. And in that case, as we will see, the transaction is canceled. If you bought something worth 7 for 6, then what you paid was 1/7 up, and that's less than onah. And in that case, as you will see, the transaction remains as is. Perhaps immediately, perhaps not immediately. We'll see that. Now, l'rav d'amar bata mikachazlinan shavichum shabashita bitul mekachavi. If you bought something worth 5 for 6, then the transaction is canceled. Shavishiva bashita, if you bought something worth 7 for 6, mechilahi d'havia, then you're mochalit. So we find a very clear difference in practice between Rav's position and Shmuel's position. Ushmuel amar kamrina mechila bitul mikach hechad alekashtut mishnei tzadim. He says, when do we say that either the onah is so small that you forgive it, or it's so large that the transaction is canceled? That's when neither side could identify a shtut, meaning neither the item nor the money. But as long as one of them could be, one of the sides, one of the perspectives of the deal could render a shtut, onah havya. All right, let's test that against our Mishnah. Tanan ha'onah, arba kesef isim ve'arba kesef l'sela. That's our Mishnah. Shtut l'mikach. My love, the zovin shavin, shavi esrin be'esrin ve'arba. Aren't we talking about a case where you sold something worth 20 for 24? Which means that in Shmuel's world, this is a sixth. In Rav's world, it's a fifth. And it should be canceled. Ushma min ashtut ma'ot namishaninus to support Shmuel. No, the zovin shavi esrim ve'arba'a be'esrim. No, take it the other way. We're still talking about 20 and 24, but here you sold an item worth 24 for 20, which means that the item is worth 24, 1/6 of 24 is 4, and you undersold by 4. Meaning tanem ocher, but that's not going to work because in that case, who's the victim? The seller. Aim a seifa, look at the next part of the Mishnah, matay mutabach zorbech deshir eliti gero likrovo. We said that you have as long as it takes to get an appraisal to cancel the deal or to get your money back. The Amar of Nachman, Loshanu El Lokeach, of Nachman, in an uncontested statement, says that that limitation only applies to the buyer. Av Mocher Leolam Choser, the seller can always change his mind. At the end of the Gemara, we'll see why. Our Mishnah cannot be a case where you undersold, because clearly the next step of it, which is how long you have to go back, is a case where the buyer is the victim, which means you oversold. Now, if you say that you sold something worth 20 for 24, that totally supports Shmuel. So how will we save our Mishnah according to Rav? Aladazavin Shavi Esrim V'arba Besrim V'tmanya, that you sold something worth 24 for 28. In other words, you raised the price by 1/6 of its proper market value, and then Rav's good. All right, let's see. Tanan Rav Tar from below, the second part of the Mishnah, which I mentioned, seems to be a dead end of a story because it ends up not going anywhere. But it's important because it helps us understand. What are we talking from rule in law and how nash one a kesef esrim v'arba kesef l'sela? This will be exactly like we just saw. Shlish l'mikach my love the zovin shavi shitzar esrim v'arba. Aren't we talking about a case where you sold something worth 16 for 24, which means that it is now in Rav's world that's 50% because 50% of 16 is the 8, but according to Shmuel it works because out of the 24 that you spent. 1/3 of that was the onah. Shmonash tishma namishaninu. So that means that Shmuel again is supported. Lo, the zavin shavi are swim v'arba b'chitza. We give the same answer. You sold an item worth 24 for 16. But again, meaning tanem ocher. That means that the seller was the victim. Now what happened in the story in Lod? The vendors in Lod were unhappy, were displeased when Rabbi Tarfon said to them, by the way, you have all day to change your mind. But remember this, but the limitation that we talk about only applies to the buyer. The seller can always change his mind, which means that the situation in Lod must have been a case where the buyer was mitaneh, and the vendors were displeased because now the buyer would have longer to come back. So it can't be a case where he sold something worth 24 for 16. We see the same kind of answer we gave earlier. You sold something worth 24 for 32, in which the upcharge is one-third, and that supports Rav. But nonetheless, Tanekovateh Shmuel, we have Brayta that supports Shmuel. Mishu Talav Yadu Aliyonat. Remember this Brayta, because we're going to come back to it at the very beginning of the next sugya. Mishu Talav Yadu Aliyonat, which means whoever is the victim is in control. Ketzad, how does it work? Machar lo sheva chamisha v'shisha, if you sold him something worth 5 for 6, which of course in Rav's world is over the threshold. Mi nitaneh lokeach. The lokeach, the buyer, is the victim. Ya lokeach el yonah, he therefore is in control. Ratzah omer ten li ma'otai, he can say I want my money back. O ten li ma'sho neitani, or he can say give me the one zuz that was the onah. I mean, I'll keep the deal, I'll keep the mekach. And you keep 5, but have to give him back 6. He has that choice. On the other hand, machar lo shaveh sheish b'chamesh, if you sold him something worth 6 for 5, min nitaneh, now this, of course, Rav would agree with, mocher, because that is 1/6, yad mocher yonah ratzah omer lo ten li mikhi, the seller can say, give me back my item, and I'll give back your money, o ten li mashon nitani, or you could say, give me back the difference. He's in charge. But the point for right now, from that brayta that concerns us, is that the model that they use equates selling 5 for 6 or selling something worth 6 for 5, which supports Shmuel and refutes Rav. Now we have two questions testing the parameters of Onah. Ibayelahu. Pachot l'shmishtut l'rabbonin. We're gonna walk in the Rabbonin's direction here, who said that shtut is the 1/6 is the threshold. What about less than 1/6? We said before that's mechila. La'al tarhav yimechila mechle sheru l'tigar l'krovo. When does mechila happen? Immediately when you buy it, which means that way later when you found out that the item that you paid $300 with was really only $280, so a small markup, far less than onah. Do you now say that you were mochel at the minute you bought it, or do you have as long as it takes to check it out? If you think you have some sort of duration to check it out, then what's the difference between 1/6 and less than 1/6? Because we said with 1/6, when it's right on, you have, let's say, half an hour to check it out, and during that time you can come back and request your money back. So same thing if it's less than 1/6, if you accept that position. The answer is that there still is a possible difference. If it's 1/6, you have control, as we just said in the Brayta. If you want, you can have the deal go back. If you want, you can keep the deal and just get the onah back. But if it's less than a shtut, even if we say you have that duration, you have to keep the item, but you get the onah back. So my, what's the answer to this? The very end of the Mishnah says that in Lod, the sellers reverted to accept the Chachamim's position. Now, Savrua, we think, Pachot Mishnah to Rabbi Tarfon, Pachot Mishnah to Rabbanan Dami. And looking at the Mishnah, it looks that way, that whatever Rabbi Tarfon says about 1/3 is what Rabbanan say about 1/6. Right? Now, therefore, whatever Rabbanan say about less than 1/6 is what Rabbi Tarfon says about less than 1/3. If you accept the idea that according to the Rabbanan, if it's less than 1/6, you still have some time during which you can change your mind. Well, Rabbi Tarfon, who said that duration is not half an hour, but it's all day, I now understand why the vendors in Lod were upset and changed their mind, because they said, even if you have something that's less than 1/3, anything above market value, if they have all data to come and want their money back and want to change the deal, that's going to be terrible. So we want the Chachamim's position. But if you think that anything less than the threshold of Ona'ah is forgiven immediately, and there is no time at which you can come back and ask for your money back, and therefore, Mechila of less than 1/3 is immediate, Amai Chazuru, then why'd they change their mind? They're not bothered by anything. After all, they have a much broader range of markups that are acceptable, up until 1/3. Anything less than 1/3 immediately is Mechila, and nobody can come back. Why'd they change their mind? The answer is, they should like Rabbi Tarfon more. Because according to Rabbanon, what they call Onah, 1/6, and 1/5, and 1/4, Rabbi Tarfon, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's acceptable, and the person's Mechila the difference. So the answer is, Wait a second. You started with an assumption that's not an accurate assumption, which is you think that Rabbi Tarfon simply takes everything the Rabbanan says and applies it to a third. Lo mishtut v'yad shlish Rabbi Tarfon kishtut atzvon the Rabbanan dami. He says as follows: the Rabbanan say 1/6 is onah. Rabbi Tarfon says 1/6 is not onah, but anything more than 1/6, meaning a fifth, up until a third, is like the Rabbanan treat 1/6. It's not like everything up until a third is all the same thing. So ihachi b'may samchu mikar. If that's the case, then what were the vendors happy about at the beginning when Rabbi Tarfon said it's a third? After all, everything from 1/6 to 1/3 is not subject to onah anyways. So tifshot to bitul mekach l'rabbanan le'olam chozer. It must be because the Rabbanan say that when there's bitul mekach, which happens when it crosses the threshold, when it's over, in Rabbi Tarfon's case, a third, you can have the transaction negated at any time. Came and Amar Lehu Rabbi Tarfon Havi Onah, since once Rabbi Tarfon said that Onah is only a third, Samchu, there they were happy because they said, you know what, deals that will be canceled and that the buyer could have canceled at any point, those will only happen if it's a markup of a lot. Okay, Amar Lehu Kol Hayom Chazru, therefore when he then said, but things that are less than that, they have all day to change their mind, they change their mind. They changed their mind and went back to the Chacham's position. Because if you think the Rabbanim's position is that even if it's over the threshold, you only have that duration to change your to go back and have the deal canceled. But my samchu, what were they so happy about? The answer is samchu b'shtut atzma. They were happy about things that were right exactly at 1/6. Evidently, 1/6 was a common markup range in their economy. So they were happy about that situation, Ritafon Mechila Rabbanan Onah, because according to Ritafon, that was Mechila. Anything more than that was already Onah. According to Rabbanan, that was Onah. Alright, second question is, Ibayelu Bitul Mekach L'Rabbanan V'Olam Chozer. Goes to what we just mentioned. According to Rabbanan, a deal which crosses the threshold is more than Onah. Can you have the transaction canceled forever? Only during that duration. And if you think it's only during the duration, so Mike mentioned to the etrashtut, the same question we asked before, inverted. What's the difference between 1/6 and more than 1/6? Either way, you just have that duration of it canceled. The answer is ika de ilushtut mishinitan echozer. If it's exactly 1/6, only the victim can have the deal changed. For the etrashtut shneim chozrim. But if it's more than a shtut, either one of them can be chozer. Now, my, what's the story? Toshma, Chazrul Divrei Chachamim. What happened at the end of the Mishnah? The people in Lod, the sellers in Lod, readopted Chachamim's position. If you accept the position that you can only cancel a transaction as during that duration, or Bitarfon call Yom, if Bitarfon says all day, Shumach Chazru. That's why they went back to Chachamim, because they didn't want people all day standing there trying to cancel deals. But if you think that the cancellation of a deal that crossed the threshold is forever, then Rabbi Tarfon is no different than Rabbanan. Everybody agrees it's forever. Amai Chazru. So what was it that they made them change their mind? What were they unhappy about? Rabbi Tarfon said, Kol Hayom is only for 1/6 or for 1/3. So the answer is, Rabbi Tarfon Nechalutfe. They should have liked Rabbi Tarfon. The Kamash Filahu Anah Kol Hayom too low. Because he said, what Rabbanan say, let's say 1/5. According to Rabbanan, you can always cancel it. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you only have all day. That's still better. So the answer is bitul mikach lo shchiach. No, such deals are not common that the price markup is so big that you could have the deal canceled. So therefore, that was not a non-issue for them, and they were more concerned about people within the 1/6 coming up to them all day as opposed to during the half hour or however long it takes. All right, Amar Rava, Hilchata pachot mishtut nikra mekach. What's the halacha? If it's the difference is less than a shtut, the deal's good. All right? Yoter al shtut bitul mekach. If it's more, the deal is canceled. Shtut, if it's right on the 1/6, kana umachzir onah. The deal is good. We're going to see an interesting story about that in a couple minutes. And you have to return the onah. But those last two cases, meaning bitul mekach, and if it's right on a 1/6, having the onah be returned is only if you catch it during that time. You can't walk around for 3-4 days with the mekach and not take the time to show it to people, or show it to people and find out that it's onah, and then come back later to a salesman. A salesman has to make a living. He can't worry that weeks later people are going to come up and make complaints. Now, Tanya Kavateh de Rava, we have a braita that supports Rava. Ono pachod mishtut nikre mekach. Yater al shtut batal mekach. Exactly what he said. Shtut kana umachzir ona'a divrei Rabbi Natan. That's Rabbi Natan's position. Exactly what Rava said. Rabbi Yehuna nasi omer yad mocher al yona. He said something that we familiar to us from earlier, that the seller, and this is of course a case where the seller is the victim. Yad mocher al yona. He's in control. Rotze omer lo ten lemikhi. He could say, give me back my goods and I'll give you the money. Oten lemashe anutani. Or give me the yona. And both of them, though, both those shiurim are only that amount of time and not forever. So bito mekach is only during that time. Now, the second question that the Mishnah addressed was, how long do you have? This duration we've been talking about for a long time. We've seen Rav Nachman twice already. Nachman said that the duration is only for the buyer. The seller could come back 2-3 weeks later and say, hey, I sold you something. It turns out I undersold it. Here's my proof that I undersold it to you. And if it's a sixth, then you have to give me the difference. If it's more than a sixth, I have the deal canceled, etc. So now, name of Sayyidah Chazul Divrei Chachamim. Perhaps the end of the Mishnah that says that the sellers in Lod went back to accept Chachamim's position supports this. Why? If you accept the idea that the seller can always change his mind, then I understand why they changed and accepted Chachamim, because they're upset that Rabbi Tarfon gave the buyers all day. They, in any case, had forever. So the only ones who gained were the buyers, and these are the vendors. But if you say, not like Rav Nachman, which nobody suggests, but if you would accept a position not like Rav Nachman, which is that the seller has the same rights as the buyer and the same limitations as the buyer, why would the sellers care? After all, they also now get all day in case they undersold. Just like Rabbanu made a takana to benefit the buyer, they made a takana to benefit the seller. So they gain also. The answer must be that they always had longer. The answer is, they're good vendors. They don't often make such mistakes where they undersell. And therefore, that's not going to likely to happen, and therefore that wouldn't bother them. And they wouldn't gain from that. And here's a story. So Rabbi Chama was staying in a house while he was in learning, and his host sold some wine, and he made a mistake. He undersold it. So Rabbi Chama found his host, found he was very sad. Why are you sad? I sold wine, and it turns out I undersold it. I didn't make enough money. He said, go and find the buyer and have the transaction negated. He said, evidently the seller knew some of the halacha, and he said, I waited longer than the shear that the rabbis told me about, which is enough time to show it to an appraiser or something. So shout to the coming of Nachman. So Amar Chama said, go to Rav Nachman. He'll tell you what to do. Amar le, lo shanu el lokech. So what Rav Nachman tell him? What Rav Nachman's shita is, which is that the limitation of that amount of time only applies to lokech of mocher le'olam chozer. A seller can always change his mind. Now, my time, what's the reason for that different distinction? Lokech mikchov yado. The lokech is holding the item in his hand. Everywhere he's going, he can show it to you. He's had it in his hand. He can go to another store and say, how much is this worth? He can go to his cousin and say, you used to be in diamonds. What is this worth? They'll tell him on the spot that he should go back and get his money back, or he got a good deal, or whatever it may be. That's the lokech. Mocher delon nakat mikche biyade. The mocher doesn't have the item in his hand. He sold it. He can't assess it until he gets another item to sell, which is exactly like the one that he sold, and then he can go to his cousin who used to be in diamonds, or he can go to a neighboring vendor and say, what's the proper price for this? So therefore, you can't give him a duration like that. You have to wait. And since natata derecha l'shiurim, therefore we have to say that he has forever. There was a fellow who grabbed some, who was holding on to some silk ribbons to sell. It's a delightful story. He was announcing that he would sell them for six, but they were worth five. But everybody knew that if you give him five and a half, he would take it. But the proper market value was five. Ato Gavra Amar. So another fellow came along, a disingenuous fellow, and said, I said to himself, if I give him the 5.5, then Havieg Mechila, then the half is Mechila, because it's 1/10 or 1/11. So what should I do? Etain Leshita, I will not bargain at all. He wants 6, I'll give him 6. Ve'epe Ladina, then I'll take him to Dina and say, you, that's Ona, because it's now 1/6. According to Shmuel, of course. Ata the Kame de Rava, so he came to Rava. Amar lo shana lo kach min atiger. Oh no, only applies if you're buying it from a real vendor. This guy's a regular guy who happens to have some silk ribbons. Lo kach malabayit ein lo alav onah. There is no onah there, and we'll see why at the end. Hahu gavra, another story. Dami nakid kefe lizvune. A fellow had some jewels, some earrings or something to sell. Kari shitin mishavi chamshin. Same story. He said, same type of story. He said they were selling it for 60. The truth is they were worth 50. Everybody knew, or else he would announce that if they paid 55, he would sell it. Ato Gavramar, another fellow came along, might have been the same guy, and he said, yeah, even if I give him 55, then it's Mechila, I lose 5. Etain Leshitin, I'll give him 60. Vet Beladin, and then I'll take him to Dean and say, hey, that's on no, I want my 10 back. Ato Lakam Rav Chista, so he came to Rav Chista, who was of course Rav's father-in-law, Amar le lo shanu lo kach min atiger, said the same thing, which is that it's only true if you buy it from a vendor. Lo kach min alabayit ein lo alav onah. So Amar le Rav Dimi v'chenem Rav Elazar, Amar le Rav Dimi yasher. So Rav Dimi is in Rav Chista's beitin. Rav Dimi remembers from Eretz Yisrael. He's in Rav Chista's beitin in Bavel, and he says yasher, good deal, good psak. He's confirming that that's the approach they had in Eretz Yisrael and Beit Midrash Shosh Rabbi Yochanan. V'chenem Rav Elazar yasher. And evidently, Rav Dimi is now quoting Rav Elazar from Tverian, saying, "Yes, that's the proper thing. That the whole rule of Ona only applies when you're buying from a vendor and not from a balabait." Ah, Ivan Antonan Kashem Shana. Look 2 lines down at the next Mishnah, and you'll see Kashem Shana lehed yod kachon el letiger. Just like Ona applies to a regular guy, it applies to a vendor. In other words, we're starting with the assumption it applies to a regular guy. So man had yot love balabait, isn't that a balabait? So Chista b'tzaraita. Chista says, you know what that means in the Mishnah? That's talking about simple clothes that a balabait is selling. Avo mane tashmishte diakiri alei, but if a balabait is selling his own wares that are important to him, l'maz bin lo'ele ilav b'dom yoteri, he's only going to sell it if he can get a lot of money for it. In other words, why would somebody be selling his own goods? He's selling them because probably because he really needs some money, and because he's decided he has to part with these things, but he's only going to do it if he can get a lot of money. In other words, he's not in the regular commercial enterprise where Ona would apply. If, on the other hand, a regular balabait happens to have gotten a shipment of stuff, like this Saraita, and wants to sell it, so then Ona will apply, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Alright, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up at Mishnah Dalet in the next podcast on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, as we further investigate the laws of Ona'ah. We should have a wonderful day.